Good morning, everybody. It's Easter Sunday morning, the greatest day in the church calendar, the day that we celebrate that Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And in response to that, what can we say? How about joining me in saying this? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now say it again, though, because I didn't hear you properly and I'm not sure you really meant it. Only, before we say it, forget about what's been going on this week. Forget about what's going on outside. Forget about what you've heard about on the news. Forget about coronavirus, because Jesus is King. So say it with me now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It should come as no great surprise that I want to read to you this morning from the Bible. Indeed, I'd love for you guys to read along with me. And this morning we're going to read some of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote about 2,000 years ago. Now, these words were not written just for believers who were living in the city of Corinth, nor were they only written for Christians who were alive at this time. These words are for every Christian who has ever been born again. Which means that these words are for you too. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've come from, nor does it matter what you've done. If you have asked Jesus to come into your life, if you have asked him to forgive your sin, then God says these words are for you. And if you haven't yet done this, God says that these words can bring new life to you and to any who ask in the name of the risen Lord Jesus. And I want you to hear something else about these words too. They may have been written by Paul, but these words, along with every word recorded in the Bible, is given by God himself. So these words, in a very real sense, come directly from God to you. Isn't that amazing? So as we open our Bibles at 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read the first 8 verses. Though, if you have time, read the whole chapter. Perhaps you could do that this week. Now, brothers and sisters, it starts. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first most importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. And in this scripture, what is it that Paul says is the most important thing? This fact, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus rose again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pause a moment and thank God for Jesus. Father God, right now, at this moment in time, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to earth, that he took on flesh, that he became a human being, and that he died on the cross for our sins. And Father, we thank you too that on the third day he rose again, defeating death, providing a way by which we might be restored to that wonderful, close relationship with you that you want to have with every single one of us. Oh, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God's very Son, left all the glories of heaven, put on human flesh, and entered human history. Now, I want you to hear these words this morning. I want you to hear and understand this most important fact. Since the time of the fall, and even before, since the dawn of creation, the overriding theme of human history has been the story of how, no matter what human beings have done, how far they have turned away from him, God's passionate love has always seen him pursue a prodigal people. This story is of a loving God who does whatever it takes, quite literally and absolutely whatever it takes, to show us that he loves us and to provide a way by which we can come back to him. And hear this, particularly this morning. God's passion was unleashed in all of its fullness through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And it changed everything. Oh, folks, on a Sunday morning some 2,000 years ago, some of the women who had been following Jesus got up before the sun had even risen and went to the tomb where their master had been laid. And what was it that drove them to do this? Compelled them to do this? It was their love and devotion to Jesus. Now, the job they were going to do was actually a sad job. They would be the ones who would wipe the blood from his brow, from his legs, and from his side. They would be the ones to clean up the battered body of Jesus. They would be the ones to remove the blood that had matted in his beard. They would be the ones to clean up the wound in his side, the marks on his back, and the nail holes in his hands and his feet. They would be the last ones to touch his face and close his eyes. Or so they thought. But when they arrived at the place where Jesus was buried, they found the stone had already been rolled away. So they went inside, and what did they find? The tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. When they came back outside, no doubt in a daze, no doubt concerned, no doubt upset, there was a young man in a white robe sitting down. Mark chapter 16, verses 6 to 7, tell us about what happened then. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They were looking for Jesus who was crucified. Jesus who was arrested and bound. Jesus who was beaten, bruised, battered. Jesus who was mocked, insulted, punched. Jesus who was whipped by a Roman scourge, a whip full of lead and broken pieces of pottery. They were looking for Jesus who was crucified, who had died and was buried. But understand this, from the very moment the Roman soldier pounded that first nail into the flesh of the Son of God on that Friday morning, Sunday was coming. And on Sunday morning, with great power, with resurrection power, Jesus burst forth from the grave. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. The enemy has been defeated. Death could not hold him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. "Don't be alarmed," he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. You know, the more I hear this account, the more I read these scriptures, the more I am convinced that Jesus wants to say the same thing to all of us as well, especially this day. He says, don't be alarmed. Don't live in fear. It's going to be okay. I have risen. I am alive. And my death, burial, and resurrection changes everything. You know, all the way through his ministry, Jesus kept on saying that this was what was going to happen. When he came to Jerusalem, after turning over tables and driving the money changers out of the temple, he said in John 2, verse 19, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he said to some of the religious leaders who were challenging him after he'd cast out a demon, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus explained to the disciples, as he prepared to go to Jerusalem for the last time, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. I want you to understand that from the beginning to the end of his ministry, Jesus told all who would listen, especially his disciples, that he would suffer, that he would die, and that he would rise again. He also said that his resurrection would be the final, indisputable proof that he was exactly who he said he was. God in the flesh, the bread of life, the light of the world, the great I am, the Saviour King, the Christ, the Messiah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, perhaps you could turn with me to another passage of Scripture, to more of Paul's words. Romans chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, where we read this. Regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The resurrection removes any doubt whatsoever as to who Jesus is. You see, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus was just another teacher. Jesus was just another ordinary man, just another one of us. But he was raised from the grave. There is new life, even life after death. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Please, please hear me. The Jesus that we love, the Jesus that we follow, the Jesus that we serve, the Jesus that we can or have surrender our lives to, is not just a prophet, not just a great teacher, or even just a really nice guy. No. Jesus is God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Son of God. He is the bread of life. He is the living water, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Lion of Judah, the great high priest, the sinner's friend, King of kings and Lord of lords, the way, the truth, and the life. He is holy. He is mighty. He is God. And he is alive. Does it sound like I'm making a really big deal about the resurrection of Jesus? I do hope so. His resurrection is a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's the ultimate game changer. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 22. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection changes everything. It changed everything 2,000 years ago, and it continues to change everything even today. Even to this day. Even for you and me. Even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so much more than just a past historical event. It is something that is real right now. It is something that is real today. It is real for you and it's real for me. And we, like Paul, can know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And like Peter, we can receive mercy and experience new birth and living hope. This is what we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You may remember a series 2 or 3 years ago that I did called Who Do You Say That I Am? And I want us all to think about that question again this morning. For it is in this question, who do you say Jesus is, that we can find the most mind-blowing, life-changing reality, which is that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And that fact is reinforced, is strengthened, is made the centrality of faith in the resurrection of Easter Sunday. So this morning, think about who you say Jesus is. Think about who Jesus is to you. For this is a question of eternal consequences, made very real when facing our own mortality in the grip of a worldwide pandemic. So let me remind you of who Jesus is. There has never been and there never will be anyone like him. There has never been nor ever will be a teacher like Jesus. There has never been nor ever will be a king like King Jesus. No one has ever nor ever do the things that he has done. No one has ever nor will ever speak words like he has spoken. And I've got to tell you that today's reminder and reinforcement could not have come at any better time for us. All I can say is what awesome timing from God that we talk about his resurrection today, even in the midst of a world that has been taken over by an invisible enemy. In a world that is full of fear, comes a clear message. Don't be alarmed. He is risen. Here, as this is a historical event that has changed everything. Our past, our present, and our future. Here is an event that changes things right now for eternity. Here is an event that occurred 2,000 years ago that is still totally relevant today. Especially today. Especially Easter Sunday 2020. Especially when the world is so fearful. Especially now for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 to 21 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You know, that first Easter was so good, especially because that Saturday had been so bad. On Saturday, the disciples didn't think they had much of a future. They were in meltdown mode. They were hiding away in Jerusalem for fear that there might be a cross with their name on it. On Saturday, they had no courage, they had no hope, they had no future. There was not one of his disciples who said, "What are you going to say when you see him again tomorrow?" Not one of them had worked it out. Not one of them remembered. He said he would be killed and rise again in 3 days. Okay, Friday is day one, today is day two. You know what? I think we need to get up early tomorrow to go and greet him. No one connected the dots. On Saturday, there was no hope. There was no courage about the future. There was no optimism. Does that sound a little like today? Does that sound a little like the news at this time? It does to me. So Sunday comes, and those who go to the tomb are not going there to talk with him, but to embalm him. They were carrying the spices and perfumes to anoint his body, which, let's be honest, doesn't look much like an Easter parade or a victory march, does it? It may have been Sunday, but all of them were still in a Saturday mindset. Does it feel right now as if the whole world has lost its hope, has lost its courage, is stuck on Saturday? And this is why I so love the resurrection. Hear this. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, every human being has been given the promise that in Christ, death is not a dead end. Instead, it is simply an exit ramp from this life to the next life, to the best life, to eternal life. In John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." Do you believe this, Martha? In other words, Martha, do you have confidence in me? Do you trust that I am who I say I am? If you do, you will know eternal life with me. You know, there's a real old-fashioned word that speaks of this. It's a word that means confidence. It's a word that speaks of a confidence that allows you to continue to function, a confidence that affects your outlook and your behaviour. That word is swagger. Folks, do you have that sort of confidence? You can have. Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. And because of that, it's time to get your swagger back. It's time to put down fear. It's time to leave Saturday behind. It's time to become Easter people, resurrection people. On Easter Sunday, we can say with real swagger, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" Our future is secure. It is guaranteed. And it's going to blow our minds in the most wonderful and glorious ways. Yes, if we will only allow him, Jesus has moved the entire world from Saturday to Sunday. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." coronavirus has got nothing on my Jesus. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. How's your swagger? Because of the great I am, the best is yet to come. No matter what. It's Sunday, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.